took the nails for me.
This is Glorious Day, a program that grew from a vision.
A vision to support our brother and sister Christians.
And those who are still seeking Jesus.
By applying God's word to the everyday concerns and challenges that we all face today.
We are two local pastors who love Jesus.
And his people.
And he wants us to strengthen his disciples.
To get stronger, because God's promised revival is on the way.
Good evening or good morning, depending on when you're listening to Glorious Day, or the program that we just, Pastor Barry and I just want to help believers get stronger in their faith and live the life that they have today. And for those who don't believe, to say something that'll inspire you to look for Jesus. And as we said in the last program, all you got to do is turn around. He's right there. He never left.
Always waiting.
Waiting for you.
Mm-hmm.
So, hello, this is Pastor David.
And this is Pastor Barry.
There you go. And we got the introductions out of the way. We're having fun with this, folks, and I hope that you're getting something out of it, too. Barry has a reading from the Word of God for us to start our evening with.
Thank you. Today's Hebrew is Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart.
Mm.
The word of the Lord.
Wow. And there's so much in that one verse. We're going to spend the rest of the program unpacking it.
Mm-hmm.
We're continuing with the theme of the Bible, the Word of God, and how important that is. Last time, if you were listening in, you heard us say some things about, you know, what the Bible says about not editing it, and why it's a powerful revelation of God, and it's not just literature that you read like you do a novel or a nonfiction piece, or even an autobiography. I've heard one person say, well, it's God's autobiography. And I'm going to say, wait a minute. It's God's self-revelation, but it's way more than an autobiography. And this word, this verse that Barry just read, Hebrews 4:12, it is, when I say it's way more than that, this is telling us how it is way more than that. We're going to unpack this. And Barry, you said something earlier before we came to record this session, so I'd like for you to unpack that, please.
Well, this is very interesting because the Word of God is alive and it is active, sharper than any two-edged sword. If you're honest with yourself, and that's a big issue right there. But if you open up the Word of God, and you look at it, not thinking that you're one of the, you know, the guys with the white robe and the halo, and you're the good guy, and disparaging remarks are made by you about all those other, you know, naughty people in the Bible. Guess what? We're all those people in the Bible. This is a mirror, and if you're honest, you've got to look in the mirror. It's a very sobering experience.
Yes.
And you are pierced in your heart at times because you don't want to be the guy that everybody in the story in that particular chapter and verse is ready to throw stones at because they're miserable sinners and that they're they're thumbing their nose at God. Let's be honest, folks. We've all had that experience in our life, and this is pointing it out. God wants to mold us and shape us. He wants to get us ready. He wants to get us ready for our eternal life in the kingdom of heaven.
Amen.
And it's not always going to be easy or comfortable. But you gotta take it as a parent talking to a child. They only want you to be better and better and better. You know, we have a loving father, and he's constantly sanding off those rough edges on us. And I don't know about you, but I've got a lot of rough edges. I'm not ready for sandpaper yet. I'm ready for a chainsaw.
Yeah. Well, that's a great image, a chainsaw. There are days, and it feels like that God is taking care of those rough edges in my life with a chainsaw. But here's the thing, that it's very important. You know, I'm speaking now to those who know Jesus. Although if you don't, please listen in. You don't yes. Walk off and get something to drink or eat. Please listen in. But remember when you met Jesus. Most of us, most people remember. For me, it was December of 1976, and the evening was a Sunday evening. And my wife and I come home from Bible study because we were being nice to our neighbors. And we kept going back because we didn't know how hungry we were. And we met Jesus. The Holy Spirit revealed to us it was all real. Mm-hmm. The Word of God that we've been studying, it was all real. Jesus was true and real, and everything it said about him is true. But after we received Jesus as Lord and Savior, and over the next four and a half decades, we continue to return to the Word of God because our spiritual growth depends on it. At any moment when someone receives Jesus, they do not get the fullness of the revelation that they need to conduct their Christian lives. Nobody. If somebody tells you they've done that, you could certainly put your arm around their shoulder and pray for them and help them to understand. No. Yes, you've probably grown greatly and you've seen things you didn't see when you first met Jesus. And that's all well and good, but it's a lifetime of discipleship training, you know, that we all go through because as, you know, we see Jesus' disciples, when he first met them, you know, they're kind of a hodgepodge group of, you know, people we would never pick, you know, when we saw their personalities. But as we see after the day of Pentecost, when they received the Holy Spirit, they became the church, totally different. But they still had a daily growth experience in the Spirit, and they had to get into the Word. The word that they had, which is the Hebrew Scriptures, and then as time went on, many of the followers, like St. Paul and James, another apostle, and of course the four gospel writers, the four apostles,
right,
and Father, they all began to write what God gave them to write for what we call the New Testament, which continues to be a source of edification and guidance for the Christian person. And it is in no way, again, we said in the last episode. Well, it could be episodic. We are kind of episodic here. But the Word of God is, listen, again, I'm going to read this, Barry, if you don't mind. Just keep in mind, we're talking about the Bible here. We're not talking about a cookbook.
Right.
We're not talking about a dictionary. We're not talking about your most favorite nonfiction or fiction work that you have read. We are talking about a book that is so unique that there is nothing else like it. And that God, when you read the Bible, God already moves to do these things if your heart is open. That,
amen.
That the author of Hebrews says, the Word of God is living and active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. In other words, this unique book, God is intended to be a life changer
Amen.
For those who believe. And you've got to look at it that way, and you've got to reverence it as the Word of God in that way. It is holy. And guess what? Through the revelation God gives you in your daily, weekly, monthly, yearly, annually, lifelong reading and study and prayer of the Word of God, He is making you holy.
And you will never be the same again.
Never.
Quick, short story, promise short.
Please.
Okay. I bought a biker to Christ who was rather miserable and angry and verbally violent, and he was a fellow that was in the hospital after injuring himself. And when all the nursing staff goes running out of a room, they'll call in a minister or pastor to run into the room. And he was extremely angry, and walked him through the process through his anger till I got to the point of why he was angry. And this is why you should never judge anybody ever. That's God's job. We do not judge anyone. Preconceived impression maybe, but not judge. And this gentleman looked at me with teary eyes and said, Jesus was my best friend as a child and I blew it. I lived a life of sin for 40 years all over the world. He said, I broke all the commandments. And he just wanted to be right with the Lord, but he didn't know how to handle it. He was so angry at himself. So he lashed out. Fast forward, this man got into the Word, basically opened the Bible, said, did that, done that, probably going to do that, do this. And he was an honest sinner.
Yes.
And he came to church, and he poured his heart out in tears, and he received Holy Communion, and that was his first day of joy in 40 years. And several years later, I went to an area church I knew he was attending, and this 6'5", 270-pound man, tight end comes to mind in size, was sitting in the hall with several women in their late 80s and 90s holding their purses for them and says, yeah, I'm a church lady now, and I'm happy. And he had the biggest, broadest smile on his face, and he was helping all these little old ladies go to their doctor's appointments and fixing their appliances, and he just took on the role of the Holy Spirit telling him, you need to go help other people and do my work, my holy work.
Amen.
And if you could meet him, you just feel it and see it when you're around him, the work of the Holy Spirit in this man. But he was honest. He opened the book, and he recognized everything that he had done wrong and how he got to that point in his life with such a dark, black heart and anger and bitterness. We don't have to live like that.
We don't.
We don't have to wait. It's waiting for you.
It is. And, you know, this is now a switch over. If you're not a believer, by that I mean is you haven't really asked Jesus to come into your life to change you. Let me say, first of all, that he won't judge you, which is the first thing that an unrepentant sinner thinks, and why we avoid making any contact with Jesus or the people who serve him, you know. Now, can I speak with authority about that? Of course I can, because before I met Jesus, I was just as much a sinner as you.
Me too.
Yeah, you too, Barry.
Yeah.
I don't know of anybody on earth who is not a sinner, and that we use it for judgment to kind of define a life of someone that is not connected to the living God, not therefore receiving God's guidance for the best life they could ever have. But I'm here to tell you that, okay, I never killed anybody. I never robbed banks. I never any life of crime. Okay, I admit I went over the speed limit on several occasions intentionally, you know. And that too, honestly, is sin, because I am being arrogant and thinking that my needs are greater than the speed limit, why they put it up. And you can agree or disagree with me about speed limits, but the point is that I recognize that I was a sinner. And what's the difference between me now and that pre-Jesus, Dave? Well, I'm still a sinner. But Jesus came into my life, and he called me, he got me on my knees, because that's where I needed to be, and to recognize that he is God, and that he loves me, and that he loves me more than I'll ever know in this life, and he wants me to be with him forever in the kingdom of God when my body ceases to sustain life.
Right.
And that was powerful to me. And I received him as Lord and Savior. I confessed my sins, not because I was telling him something that he never knew before.
Right.
Because he knew my sins.
He was there.
He was there when he was watching over me when I committed all those sins. And whether they're major or minor, you know, God doesn't rate sin. Like, you know, we have laws and they're good laws. But, you know, law, if you look at it, it rates your offense of the law by the nature of the offense.
Misdemeanor and felonies.
We have the several grades of felonies. Then you have capital murder, which is like, you know, could be a life sentence or it could be, it could be a death sentence. But the point being is that we cannot, with our earthly mind, consider how God sees sin. Because for God, every aspect of our sin is abhorrent to him. He absolutely cannot look on it. However, guess what he did?
Tell us, Dave.
Okay. that in his plan, his perfect plan for creation, mm-hmm. there came a point in human history when he sent his son. And his son was on, Jesus was on the earth for 3 years, and he preached and he taught. But you know what? All the things he was doing, he was revealing the personality of God the Father. He was revealing the love of God because he is God. Jesus is God.
He said, if you know me, you know the Father.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And he also said, the only way to the Father is through me.
Amen.
And so the point being is that he died. His death on the cross was truly a sacrifice for every human sin that had ever been committed and ever will be committed as long as there is a creation.
Right.
So that a perfect sacrifice, he's the perfect offering for our sin, the only one. Because of that, when a sinner receives Jesus literally, willingly in their heart, God then looks upon not their sin and not the natural sinner that they are, but he looks upon his son, Jesus.
Oh, that's beautiful.
This is the powerful thing that brought me to Christ, and I see it in the Bible. When I read that, I see Jesus, hey, in the Old Testament too. He's there. Whenever you see the love of God being worked out,
he's there.
He's there. So this is why we're taking two episodes or two programs,
mm-hmm.
Last one and now the one you're listening to. And you know what? We're going to get back to this theme again and again. But that's why it's important to stay, get into the Word of God, stay in the Word of God, and have fellowship with other believers who are also doing the same thing.
You know, Dave, I'm looking at the last several words of our scripture today, and I'm reading discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Mm. And that is so important to know and to keep close to your heart, because once you're walking with the Lord, like I said before, you know, your old life doesn't fit anymore. We're yeah. still going to sin, but we're given the gift of discernment. You're going to think about it. You know, temptation is popping up 24/7. It's always there. But you get to a point when you're walking with Christ where you look at it and say, almost thumbing your nose at Satan, saying, is that all you got? Because I have the promise of God. Is that all you got? Because I recognize your tool from your tool belt. I recognize that. And another point that I saw in this is the fact that the sword piercing your soul, we've heard that before. Mary heard that now, didn't she? Your heart
yes.
will be pierced. You know, we think about what we go through with the pain and the loneliness and the sadness and all the loss in our life. But yes, we became a Christian. We're followers. We're disciples of Jesus Christ. And so now our lives will be perfect. It's going to be walking on the red carpet. No.
Uh-uh.
But like Dave and I were talking about before, that if you have the opportunity to watch an unsaved person watching the news of the day, and all the bad news is just screaming out of the TV set, they pace, they shout, they shake their fists. These people are upset because this is all they got. This is the world. That's all they got. They are living in the flesh.
That's right.
Whereas someone who's got Christ in their heart will go, wait a minute, I've heard all this before. Because, my friends, all this has been done before.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not that we're smug about it, but we're just recognizing that the Lord in his word in the Bible has already talked about all this.
Mm-hmm.
And there's more coming. But we have comfort and peace and hope in our heart, because we have the promise of God, and he never, ever breaks his promises.
Never, ever.
No.
And the more we learn about God, Father, mm-hmm. Son, and Holy Spirit,
amen.
You know, the triune God,
mm-hmm.
The more we have peace in our hearts about the outcome of life in general, and mm-hmm. ours in particular. You know, as I did several years as a hospice chaplain before I retired and started doing more work. You don't ever retire as a pastor.
You're a very busy man for a retired
busy
man.
Busy guy,
David.
But you know, it's a great thing. God has got me into this. But, mm-hmm. You know, that I found such a distinct difference in lives that I knew the Lord and lives that I knew didn't,
mm-hmm.
in terms of when they came to the end of life, that so many of the people that didn't know the Lord believed that was it. You know, there was nothing beyond that.
It's a terrifying moment.
Terrifying moment. But the mm-hmm. Bible tells us that there certainly is, there's an afterlife. And the real question is, and I'm not saying this to scare people, but I am saying this to get your attention. There's either heaven or hell. And, you know, I'm sorry if you don't get more options, but there ain't more, you know.
There's not a forever spa.
It's not a forever, no. And it's not anything else you've imagined or by a movie you've watched, you know, that tried to present heaven or hell, because hell is no fun. It's an eternity of torture and suffering. And primarily, I think, because God is not in hell. His total presence has been removed from that place. And all you get is the fullness of evil there. Mm-hmm. I don't want to, you know. I lived in Chicago for a few years. That was enough for me. Forgive me, Chicagoans. I don't mean that bad, but that was just my experience on the South Side, especially. But the point is that for those who have Jesus, he's already assured us there's much, much more past this life. And while our dying may be painful and distressing for us and other people, we have a place, and he will take us to be with him. That's his promise, and he always keeps it. So if you're someone today who is kind of perched on the brink, on the fence, rather, well, you could be on the brink, too, because so many times we get there. Wherever you are that's uncomfortable, frightening, anxiety-producing, and if you think that the end of the world is coming where you're standing, then now is the time to open your heart to Jesus and ask him to come in. He's right there. What I said twice already is that... just turn around. There he is. He has never left.
Arms wide open. You know, in the Gospel of Matthew, there's a great invitation. Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Now, if you haven't found Christ yet, those words sound very comforting and inviting because there's nowhere else to go.
That's right.
Who else are you going to go to? You can't go to temporary fixes, alcohol, drugs, or whatnot. It's not going to work. Like I said, it's temporary. Jesus is forever.
Amen. So we'd like to, we're coming to the end of our time. I would like to lead you, if you're one of those people that doesn't know him yet, and you really want to, or you would like to have peace about knowing him, let me pray for you right now. Gracious Father, I lift up to you all listeners today, many whom you have, unbeknownst to them, established this connection for them to hear this invitation to receive your son, Jesus. Lord, I pray that you'd open their hearts and their spirit to give them peace, true peace, and to encourage them, Father, to recognize their crying need to have you in their life and to have their life in you. And if you're listening and you're right at that point, then please just pray this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, I'm tired of living life on my own terms because I'm failing. I'm tired of living a life of constant failure because I can't figure out how to live it any better. And I'm tired of living in a world that I don't understand, and it's the only world that I've got. Lord Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart today to be my Lord and my Savior, my brother, which is what Scripture says you are, among many other things. I want you in my heart today, not in my head. And I repent of every sin I have ever committed before this time. Ask for your forgiveness. And Lord, I ask then for your transforming love to turn me into a citizen of your kingdom. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. And if you prayed this prayer with us today, then I do know, then you also know what we're talking about. We're trusting God to lead you to a church, to a body of Christ, where you can be nurtured and discipled, loved on. And God will lead you there. May not be the first church you go to, but it will be the one that you finally walk in, and God says, this is the place.
Ah, yes.
And he's done that for so many, for all of us, really.
Go and get spiritually fed.
Spiritually fed, what you need to do. And we thank you for, and you know, if you have if you've met Jesus and you'd like to, you know, share a testimony with us, you can call the radio station. I know they'll be happy to record that or get, you know, a name and a phone number, we can, one of us can call you back. But it's 888-221-8990 is our toll-free number, the best number, really, 888-221-8990. Look forward to hearing from you. Oh, man, there's so much. We're going to have to do more programs on the Bible, you know?
Amen, brother. Amen. There's so much more we've got to explore.
But we also want to do other things scripturally and prayerfully that will help you come to grips with how to be an active believer today and what's coming. You know, I think maybe our next episode ought to be on revival.
Ooh, I like that, David.
Because that is coming.
Mm-hmm.
What do we need to know about revival? You know?
Let's make that happen.
Let's make it happen. Of course, you'll be on pins and needles, I'm sure, sitting right on the edge of your seats until the next program. But that's what we're going to talk about. We might even devote a couple of programs to that.
Sounds like a good plan.
Barry, you got any last words before we have to say goodnight or good morning again?
Good morning again. I'll say this to all these listeners out there, both saved and unsaved. God is good. God is loving. God is merciful. He doesn't want us to walk through this life with our head hung low, carrying the burdens of our life, the past bad decisions. All the things that we have that could divide us from God are of Satan. Drop it all at the foot of the cross and do not pick it up again.
Amen.
Amen.
And with those words, I say until next time, this is Pastor David wishing you, not wishing you, but praying for your God to bless you richly.
Amen, brother. God bless you too. Join us again next Sunday at 5:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m.
Diving deep with us into God's holy word,
that we might all be encouraged, strengthened, edified,
and receive renewed hope that the Lord is on the move
and His perfect plan is unfolding in our time. Thank you.